Well, I invite your attention this morning to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I have a question. You ever talk to yourself? Do you ever give yourself a pep talk? What kind of conversations do you have with yourself? When I'm on the golf course, I talk to myself a lot. Some of the conversation is out loud, and some of the conversation is just internal. And it may sound something like this. I may be stepping up to the tee, and I look at what's ahead of me, and there's a pond to the left. There's trees to the right. And I look at where I want the ball to go. I have in my mind the direction it should go. And I tell myself, okay, as you stand over the ball, let's hit it straight. And this is all internal, okay? Let's hit it straight. Make sure you're aligned. And so I'm giving myself all the instructions, how I'm aimed and everything, and then it's like, okay, on your backswing, have a nice slow backswing, and you know, have your shoulders. I'm going through all of this stuff inside. I'm telling myself what needs to happen, and I'm giving myself a pep talk. I'm going to hit it straight, and then I swing, and then I'm out loud. No, no, not that way. I'm talking to myself. Or if you're playing with Neil, it's like, go, go, go. I can be four holes away from Neil when they're in golf league, and I know Neil's on the course because I hear him all the way across the way. He talks to himself and to the ball, and the ball listens to him. I find myself talking to myself when I'm driving school bus. And it's not about the kids. It really isn't. I promise. I have instructions in front of me, and it seems like if I just say them out loud, it helps me. I'm not sure that it does, but so I have this instruction that says, okay, I'm going down Barnum, and then it'll say the third house past Irish Road. And so I'll look at that, and I will say, third house past Irish Road. I'm saying out loud. And I'm finding myself going, why am I doing that? And then I look next and, okay, right turn on Ionia, blue house on the right, about 3/4 mile. And I'm saying this out, I'm talking to myself. Sometimes when I talk to myself, it's not the most encouraging of words. I've been working on that because, you know, on the golf course, when the ball doesn't go the direction you want it to go, it's so easy, you dummy. You, what? And I'm like, no, I'm not a dummy. I just don't know how to play golf. Someone has said, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't answer. I don't know if that's good or not. This morning, I want to turn our attention to Psalm 37. It seems that the author, which is King David, is talking to himself. And then he writes down what his thoughts are. We're going to look at the first 9 verses, and what we're going to see is something in his life is going on that is troubling him. And specifically, there were evil men that were troubling him. We don't know the circumstances, but it seems that these men were prospering. They were doing well, and they weren't following God's ways, and it troubled him. It didn't make sense to him that these men who weren't living God's way were prospering. And perhaps this psalm is David working his way through his circumstances and trying to understand what was troubling him. And what we're going to see in verse 7 is that he comes to a conclusion that he just needs to be still before God and wait on him. And that's what I want us to consider this morning for a while are these words, be still. And there's a reason that I sense that God wanted us to go in this direction this morning. We're about to enter the holiday season. You know they're already playing Christmas music on Sirius XM? I refuse to go there until after Thanksgiving. Yes. But the holiday season brings a busy schedule for all of us, doesn't it? We find ourselves, in addition to the normal busyness of life, in this season that we're coming into, we find ourselves juggling our calendars as husbands and wives and families, trying to hit the Christmas parties, trying for work, trying to make sure we have all the stuff down for church events at Christmas, and maybe our children or grandchildren's school programs, all of the stuff we're trying to figure out. And then add to that the financial pressure of buying presents. Who are we buying for, and are we going to be able to afford this? Well, it's just a little bit, and the credit card starts rising, and then we add to that the stress of whose house are we going to be at this year, and when are we going to be there? Is it my parents' turn or your parents' turn? And the stress can become overwhelming and frustrating. And so the question is, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with the stress, the pressure, the busyness of this season? Could it be that in the midst of the busyness, we need to be still? Be still and wait. What did the scripture say? Patiently. Let's read. Listen to Psalm 37, 1 through 9. This is David processing this. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait impatiently. No, wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. That's 1 through 9 of Psalm 37. Again, this morning, I want us to just take our time looking at verse 7, focusing in on this idea of being still before the Lord and waiting patiently for him. David does not give us the details of all his thoughts about these evil people around him. But we know he was thinking about them, and it seems that it made him angry and even a bit envious, because he says to himself, don't be envious of these people. And it's in this self-talk that he says, don't fret. Don't be envious. Stop it. What does the word fret mean? We often use fret more as a word meaning worry. Don't worry about, don't fret about that. But the word really is a word that means to burn or to be angry. So David is telling himself, don't fret. Don't be angry because of wicked people. Don't be envious of them. And I wondered, who was David angry at? Was he angry at the wicked men? Or was he angry at God? I don't know the answer, but here's what I'm suggesting. I think David is a little bit ticked at God. And here's why I think that. I think he's looking at the circumstances around him and he's going, this doesn't make sense. Here I am trying to live a godly life, a moral life. And look at these wicked men. They don't have any eyes for God, and they're prospering. They're doing well. God, this makes no sense. You need to come down and do something about this. And I think it made him angry, frustrated, fretting towards God. You ever find yourself a little bit angry at God because of circumstances you're walking through? It can happen. Now, let me just tell you this. God is not intimidated by your anger. God isn't like, oh no, Rocky's mad at me. He's not disturbed about that. Then as we see David moving on, he reminds himself why he shouldn't fret. Because the wicked, they're going to die. It's a temporary situation. It's not going to last long. And then it appears that David gives himself a pep talk about how to stop fretting and why he should stop fretting. Look at verse 3. Stop fretting, he says. Instead of fretting, trust in the Lord and do good. Don't fret. Don't get angry about it. Trust God. Just put it in his hands. Verse 4, stop fretting and don't instead delight yourself in the Lord. See, David's saying, listen, I can't go down this road. I've got to change the way I'm thinking. Stop fretting, but in verse 5 he says, commit your way to the Lord. Just let the Lord have it. And stop fretting, verse 7, be still before the Lord. Be still before the Lord. As I looked at these four commands, trust, delight, commit, be still, this was my thought. Before I can trust, delight, and commit, I first need to be still. I think it begins with me just coming before God and being still before him, that then I can learn to trust and delight and commit everything to him. It begins with being still. What is it that causes you to fret? What causes you to fret? Is it your schedule? Is it trying to survive the holidays with everything that it brings, the pressures and stresses? And as you navigate the busyness of the season, what do? Let me tell you what most of us do, and I'm lumping myself in this. In the busy seasons of life, we often find ourselves letting time with God diminish. We push aside our time to read the scripture and pray and be still before God. Or we might take a very quick glance at the scripture, maybe a psalm, and we say just a very quick prayer and we check the box and say, I've spent time with the Lord. But the reality is we've just kind of pushed him to the side. And I don't believe that our neglect of time with God is something that we intentionally do. It's not like we say, okay, God, it's almost Thanksgiving, and the next 6 or 7 weeks are going to be really jam-packed, so I'll see you in January. I don't have time for you the next few weeks. I don't believe any of us intentionally do that, but the reality is we do that. In the busyness of our schedules, something has to give. And we find that the easiest thing to push aside is slowing down and being still before God. Somehow or another, the pressing schedule in the moment seems to be the most important thing. And so God is neglected, and we wonder why we're so stressed, and we find ourselves angry and frustrated at life. Anybody relate to that? Maybe I should preach a different message since nobody can relate. As David is talking himself through the circumstances that's causing him to be frustrated or causing him to fret, he has this brilliant idea. Hey, David, be still. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. kind of think it was an aha moment for him where he recognized his need to push everything else aside and just spend time with God. What I want us to grasp this morning is it is of utmost importance that you and I take time to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. I will tell you this, it's not going to be easy. Being still, being patient, not easy tasks. See, we are an active culture, aren't we? We kind of have this idea that if we're not moving, if we're not doing something, we're lazy. And we don't want to be labeled as lazy. So we go, go, go. Did you know that God didn't design you or me to go 24/7, 365? There's a day of rest that he designed for our bodies. We've got to be still. But who wants to be still? See, when we're still, we have to listen to ourselves. We have to listen to our conscience. And when we're quiet, our conscience gets busy. It forces us to pay attention to what's going on the inside when we're still. Maybe we're dealing with shame or guilt. So we don't want to be still because that's just too much to handle. We might not want to be still because it's in the stillness that God might speak to us and put his finger on something in our lives. So we just go, 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 and don't take time. And what about being patient? Are you kidding? See, we want fast food. We want Amazon next day delivery. We want instant oatmeal, instant mashed potatoes. We don't even want to take the time to cook bacon, so we buy pre-cooked bacon, and all we have to do is pop it in the microwave for just a couple seconds, and it is ready to go. Patience? No. See, patience is not a strong suit for most all of us. And yet David says, David, be still. Put your name in there. Be still before the Lord and what? Wait patiently for him. There are some negative consequences when we fail to be still. When we fail to be still before God, doubts can creep in. Questions of, where's God? Does he really love me? Does he care? Doubts like, am I really following him? Have you ever had this question? Is this Christianity thing, this Jesus thing even real? Is it just something that man made up? You ever had those thoughts, those doubts? When I fail to be still before God, doubts are one of those consequences that arise. See, when I fail to be still before God, distance begins to develop. And with distance comes doubt. Secondly, negative consequence of failing to be still before God is increased susceptibility to the enemy's attack. You do understand that when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, that you developed a mortal enemy. His name is Satan. And he is out to defeat you. He's out to destroy you. He is your mortal enemy. And when we cease being still before God, that distance develops. And Satan looks at us like the wild animal on the prairie sees the injured one straggling, and he goes, now's the time. And he increases his attack to destroy you. It's a consequence of failing to be still. A third consequence is this, less dependence upon God. When we aren't taking time to be with God, to be still before him, we may begin thinking, I can handle this. I got this one. Look how well I did last time. I believe I've got this. And while we don't say this directly, our actions, when we fail to be still before God and fail to depend upon Him, our actions say this: God, I don't need your help. I can handle this on my own. Now, I don't know of anybody who literally says that to God, but our actions say, God, I don't need your help. It happens when we stop being still before Him, listening for His voice. A fourth negative consequence is this: drifting. Drifting. And again, drifting isn't something we intentionally do. I've never had anybody say to me, you know what, I'm done with Jesus. I don't care what He thinks. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own direction. I just don't care. No one does that. But when we fail to be still, what we find is we slowly are drifting. Years ago, we were on the beach, and we had our kids. Our kids were younger. We were just sitting out on the beach. They wanted to go get in the water. And so all three of them are in the water. And then Byron and Brant come back up to where we are. And Brandy was still playing in the water. A few minutes later, well, where's Brandy? We couldn't find her. And you know what that does to the heart of a parent. One of two things: has the tide taken her out, or has someone picked her up? We split up, and some of us went one direction, some of us went the other direction along the beach, looking, 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 looking. You know what had happened? She had been playing, and she was fine, but the surf had just slowly moved her down the beach 200 or 300 yards. She had no clue that she was drifting. She lost sight of where we were and was just busy. Folks, that can happen when we don't take time to spend time with God, be still before Him. We can drift. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. I'm sure there are other negative consequences, but those are four that we need to pay attention to. What are the benefits of being still? Let me share with you several this morning. In the stillness, number one, we hear God's voice. In the stillness, we hear God's voice. Oh, it's not necessarily audible, but it's that still, small voice on the inside. And often His voice is a voice of comfort, a voice of encouragement or reassurance. Maybe we read His word, and the written word is God's word speaking to us. And as we read His word, we discover once again He's expressing His love for us. We're not going to hear it if we're not being still. It's in the stillness we recognize that God is fighting our battles. See, when we're busy, we might come to the place of thinking, I'm just in this all alone. There's no one here to help me. I'm just pushing, I'm fighting, I'm struggling, and I've got to do this in my own strength. But when we get still before the Lord, we may hear His voice saying, son, daughter, I'm with you. Just be still. I'm fighting your battle. It's in my hands. It's okay. In the stillness. It's in the stillness that we are corrected by God. You know, when God corrects, He is so gentle. He doesn't beat us over the head. He gently corrects us. Sometimes the correction is, you can't do this on your own. Stop trying so hard. Let me help. I remember when I was pastoring back in Pennsylvania, God stopped me in my tracks one morning as I was praying. I was walking around the little sanctuary there, and I had come across the front where the platform was, and then I went up the side, and the very back corner was the sound booth. And as I got to that back corner, just being still before God, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was a very clear, I knew. God said this, "You're not fully trusting me." It stopped me in my tracks back by the sound booth, and I realized, it was like he just opened my eyes, and I realized it wasn't that I wasn't trusting him, but I wasn't fully trusting him. I was trying to do things on my own, and he pulled me up short and says, "You're not fully trusting me." At that moment, I says, "Father, I'm so sorry. If you will help me, from this day forward, I will fully depend upon you in everything that I do." And I've tried to do that from that day to this. Not saying I've done it perfectly, but that has been my heart. I might not have heard his correction had I not been still before him. It's in the stillness that we are drawn back to God. We've talked about drifting. And it's in the stillness where we may hear God just whisper to us, "Son, daughter, you're drifting. Turn your attention back to me. Take your eyes off of all the stuff that's distracting you. Look to me. Come back." And he's so gentle as he calls us back to him. But again, it comes from being still that we can be drawn back to him. It's in the stillness that we can reflect on God's trustworthiness. It's in that stillness that we take time to reflect on how he has guided us. Maybe we remember some challenging circumstances where we don't know how it happened, but he worked the details out. We called out to him, and he came to the rescue. Maybe we're reflecting on those times when just at the right moment, God came through. And we realize it wasn't a coincidence. It was God who came through. He was trustworthy. Could I just give you one for instance? You know that back in 2019, we began planning on an Israel trip for 2021, February. And COVID canceled that, and so we pushed that forward to February 2022. Well, we had airline reservations made, and we canceled those, and then we began to pray, "God, so that we can get a good price for this trip, would you help us find airline tickets when they're available for $700 or less per person round trip? You can't reserve tickets more than 11 months from your return date." And so, near the end of March of this year, I jumped on United Airlines, got their number, called group sales, said, "Here's the dates, February 9th through 21st. I need 33 tickets. What's your price?" Remember what we've been praying for, yes? She said, "Let me check." She got back on the line and she says, "How was $699.62? In the quietness, we can reflect on God's trustworthiness and his goodness. I said, "Let me pray about it." "Yes, sign us up." See, it's in the quietness, in the stillness, that we can reflect on the trustworthiness of God. It's in the stillness we can find ourselves delighting in God. Do you delight in things? Like when your grandkids are there, it's a delight for your grandkids to be with you. Do you take time to delight in the Lord? See, it's in the stillness that we have time to just step back and be thankful for the blessings, the good things that he's brought into our lives. We remember how he healed us. We remember how he protected us. We remember how he rescued us. And it gives us peace. Maybe we reflect on the material things that he's given us to enjoy, and we just it just causes something to well up on the inside. God, you are so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's delighting ourselves in him. It only happens in the stillness. And it's in the stillness that we can respond to God. It's in the stillness that we can respond. David talks about committing his way to the Lord. What does that look like? Let me suggest this. It's in the stillness that each morning as we're spending time with the Lord, we look out over our day. Maybe we have a very important business meeting, or maybe it's a test at school, or maybe we have a doctor's appointment that's going to give us some answers about something. Maybe we're having lunch with a friend, and we just look over the day and we say, Lord, you see my day. You see what I have planned. I don't know how this day is going to turn out, but God, I commit myself to you today. I commit this day to you. I commit the events of this day to you. I am yours and yours alone. I trust you. God, you know I don't have the wisdom to take care of the things that I need. I just have to have your help. And so I'm committing myself to you. It's in the stillness that we respond to him with a voice of commitment. These things probably won't happen if we don't take time to be still and wait patiently for him. As we close this morning, I would like for you to consider two questions. Number one, will you commit today to make time to be still before God? You notice I didn't say to take the time. We make time for what is important to us, don't we? Will you commit today to make the time to be still before God? Now, in order to do that, something has to happen. So here's the next question. What do you need to set aside so you will make time for God? What is it that is pulling your attention away and keeping you from being still before him? What will you set aside to make time for God? I encourage you, not just as we face this hectic season coming up, but every day, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Would you read that last line with me up on the screen? Here we go. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Let's pray. Father, none of us want to neglect time with you. But sometimes in the busyness of life, especially in the busyness of the season we're about to enter, we find ourselves pushing you to the side. God, forgive us for that. And would you give us a determination that we're not going to neglect you. We'll neglect something else, but we're not going to neglect you. We're going to make the time to be still and wait patiently. Help us wait patiently. We don't do that very well. But we know that you will help us. We're trusting you for that. Lord, I pray for this congregation. You know what they're dealing with. You know the circumstances of their lives. Maybe many are stressed out because of a variety of things. Would you just help them even today to be still? Just be still and wait patiently for you. Thank you that you will meet us in the stillness. God, would you guide our lives this week? We ask this in Jesus' name.